Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm going to be a better Christian. No. You already are, just like Jesus Christ. That's why you're allowed in heaven, Ephesians chapter 2. Seated in heavenly places. The Christian life is about realizing who you already have become in Christ. What a blessing. I'm just an old wretched sinner. Well, your flesh is, and it ain't going to heaven. But that new nature of Jesus Christ is perfect, sinless, holy. And that's why God gives us an opportunity to learn who Jesus Christ is through these clay pots that we live in. And what a blessing. Everything he touched, he changed. I was thinking about Philippians. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wonder whether or not God is going to do something amazing in your life. He said he would. If you're saved, he's working on you right now. Don't let the devil and the world and the flesh tell you any different. Today we're going to be talking about worship. Pastor Jay Folk has been a friend of mine for many years. 94, maybe 95 we met. And he has had the same joy of the Lord through a lot of victories, through a lot of sorrows. I've watched him in some very difficult circumstances, and God has been good to him. And why? How is that possible? It's not possible in our flesh. It's not, because you and I are all made of the same thing. We may look good on Sundays, but when we wake up Monday morning, that flesh doesn't love God, doesn't care, wants to do its own thing, pulls away from God. But because of Jesus Christ inside of us, we can go from victory to victory. And I've watched Brother Folk. And it's an important thing for us to talk about worship. Worship is not smoke. It's not a fog machine. It's not colored lights. It's really not a song. You go through the scripture and study the word worship. Look it in your Bible app. Worship, asterisk. And it'll bring up every single instance of that word in every form. The thing that's interesting about worship is that it is a posture often. It is a posture. And it comes from the heart and then works its way to the external, to the outward. So when we think about worshiping, yes, often we do talk about worship music or singing to the Lord. Well, the worship music, the words are an avenue of praise. But it starts in the heart. And I feel that our church, I feel that myself, first of all, and then I figured you all might want to enjoy it as well. We need to learn about worship. We need to learn about what it means to praise our God. And I was thinking this morning about Adam and Eve and how they fellowshiped with the Lord until they became self-conscious of their sin. They knew that they were naked and they hid themselves. Self-consciousness will kill our worship. God-consciousness will enhance, will bring out our worship. And so I'm asking God this weekend that he'll help me to get rid of some of that self-consciousness to replace the fear of man with the fear of God. And Brother Folk has been an example to me. I mentioned to the men last night, I remember growing up in church all my life and singing gospel songs, hymns, and so forth. And so many times, it was a rote experience for me. It was sing the same old songs. We always sung, why? Because everybody knows them and doesn't have to think. And or any new songs, boy, what in the world are you doing? And the reason, the missing ingredient that I saw in Brother Folk that was missing in my life was intentionality, on purpose. Last night he talked about that, being here. Let me encourage you, church, before Pastor Folk comes, Brother Folk, if you would come, I want you to do this while he's coming. What are you thinking about this morning? And can you put that off until the end of church? Just put that off to the end of church. Brother Folk told me that his sister's in the hospital today. His co-pastor there in Western New York is also in the hospital, Brother Camilleri. Pray for him and for his sister. But he said, I'm going to put those things off while we're here together. And let's do that. I don't know what it is. If it's a garage sale, it's a home renovation, it's a job, it's a grandkid, I don't know what it is that you're thinking about. But put it out of your mind. Let's focus on the Lord, and let's use this time to worship him. Pastor Jay Folk, Old Paths Bible Baptist Church in Hamlin, New York. Good to have you with us.
All right. Thank you, Brother John. Appreciate that very much. Truth be known, our church music is a direct result of the Marshall family, that's for sure. When I just got saved, the Marshalls came our way about that time in the 90s, and man, I thought, I want that. How can I get that? So that's really the truth of the matter. I sure do appreciate that very much. This hymn that we sang, this number 18, is, wow. Listen. I was going to say, before I got saved, I wasn't much for tears, you know? I was a tough guy, 23 years old, fighter, 70s rocker, dope head, fun-loving, get-all-I-can-for-myself guy. But after I got saved, these hymns, they just do something to my soul. And I always said this, if people don't want to worship, well, I guess I have to worship on myself. When I got saved, it was difficult for me to find a group of people that want to worship outside the halls of the church. So we got saved, and a couple weeks later, we get invited to a guy's house, and I'm thinking, this is going to be heavenly. I'm going to go to a guy's house from the church house, and we're going to go spend some time with God's people. Well, we spent the whole afternoon watching football. Now, I like football, and I watch it on Sunday, but I'm a newly saved guy. I'm thinking, all these people, all they care about is God. I'm going to get me some. Well, all I got was to watch another Buffalo Bills lose a game, another game, right? Look at him. We stood in a doorway. Goodness. Listen, we stood in that doorway. Grandma, I don't know if you remember. We stood in the doorway, and it's like 5 minutes before we have to leave. And we're just holding that door open. Holding that door. Watch that last play. I'm going to get that last play. Goodness. And then we got the Rochester Americans, right? Now, on Sunday night, there's a group of guys. And bless God for them. I mean, okay. Anyway, they want to go watch the hockey game. They couldn't wait till that service was over. Get out of there and race to the hockey game because they're paying a full price, but they're not going to get there till the second period. So I got involved with it, you know, and I want to be with the boys and all that. And I love the hockey game. I'm just going to tell you, I don't care if you watch hockey. I don't care if you love hockey, sports. I like sports. I play sports. But I'm newly saved. Go to the hockey game. And man, I was a different creature. And I'm looking around at all the stuff going on that I used to do. And it troubled me. Well, I got home that night, and I woke up the next day, and my clothes, they smelled like the hockey arena. And I said to the Lord, I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. Do I want to think about going to the hockey game, sing one less hymn, one skip a verse or something to get to the hockey game? No. I'm not doing it. Listen, dear refuge of my weary soul. Is your soul just so weary sometimes? On thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. Wow. To thee I tell each rising grief, for thou alone canst heal anything. Heal anything. Just like those ladies were singing. Thy word can bring a sweet relief for every pain I feel. Man, I can't even sing that song. Really. I just think about all that God has done for me. When I look at the choir, watch the choir, I see that they believe what they're singing. It's easy to tell if someone believes what, like your song leader Caleb, he believes it. If you can't sing with that guy leading music, you probably just should get saved. Turn it in and get saved. That was so exciting last night for me. In your bulletin, don't have to turn here, but in the bulletin, it says, Jesus saying to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In my library, I've got books on worship by Tozer and Ravenhill and Spurgeon and Finney and Moody and Murray and Chambers and Crosby and Watts, Alfred Smith, Wesley, and so on. Really, like the brother said, worship is something that comes from the soul. It comes from someone that's been saved and forgiven. And we sit in our pew and we can't worship. We have forgotten just how low you were. Just how great God is picking you up out. Now, every musician in my church, turn to Psalm 29. Every musician in my church, if they want to get involved in the music on the platform, we have a meeting at their home and we discuss Psalm 29, verse 1. You see, let me tell you this. Music, worship has become not about God and serving Him and giving to Him. It's become about each other. It's a type of existentialism has creeped into worship in that, well, if we make this music the way the people want to hear the music, then they'll come and maybe they'll get saved. That's existentialism. That's saying that the Word of God is not enough. It's not enough. The Holy Ghost is not enough. So we're going to fashion our music like the world's music to bring the world in. Now you have proper motives, good motives and all that. You want to see people get saved? Okay. Well, here's what's happened now in Christianity. The church has built a bridge to the world called rock music. And you're going to bring the world in through that bridge. Well, we don't have time to get into all of it today, but no clean thing can come from an unclean. And if that music appeals to the body, which is the least thing we want to appeal to, and that rhythm and that beat, it's all about the body, and that's what the church has done. So now the world comes in and brings what they want, and maybe they get saved, maybe they don't get saved. But here's the problem. The problem is that same bridge the church built, so the world may come in, our young people are taking the same walkway out. We brought the world into the church with the music and the rock beat. It's not my opinion. It's not my preference. It's very clear teaching in the Word of God. And we wonder why. We give our children this seed of this music. And they take that bridge and they pass each other on the way. The world's come in and God's children are going out. Psalm 29. I'm going to tell you in one word what Christianity is all about. Give. That's what it's about. Give unto the Lord. O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I tell our musicians, it's all about giving, not receiving. Let me tell you, I told the guys last night, when I got saved, I've never been in a gospel church. I'd never heard the gospel. I never read the Bible. Not one page. 23 years old. Just an afro-haired lost man, believe it or not. And I walk in there, and I sat down, and this guy next to me puts a Bible in my lap, and the Word of God says that Word is very pure. Oh, man. For the first time in my life, these hands held something pure. These eyes looked at something pure. Anyway, they were singing out. And it blew my mind, if I can say that. I couldn't believe it. I've been to church, Christmas, Easter, and such, you know. But I never heard people singing. And you know what I noticed? They weren't singing for me. They were singing for him. They didn't care what I looked like. They didn't care what I thought about music. They weren't trying to groove with the hippie that's come in, trying to impress him with his kind of music. No, they had something totally different. They were singing vertically, not horizontally. So our music today, it's gone horizontal. That's why we, these churches with the smoke and with the lights and the flashing and all, it's just like a bar scene. I'll tell you what. We'll bring the bar scene into the church house. Try taking the church into the bar scene and watch what happens to you. They're not going to accept it. But we seem to some reason accept it. Until my dying breath, I'm going to fight against it. Give unto the Lord. Now, I know what you believe, and you know what I believe. You know how I know? Whatever you spend your time on, whatever you spend your money on, whatever you spend your energy on, that is what you believe. So I look out at my congregation and leading the music, and someone's off in outer space, and they're looking at what someone's wearing, who's not here, who is here, why is he saying that, what's he doing? What do you believe in? Do you believe in dear refuge? Oh, my weary soul, how can it be that you can love a soul like me? How can it be? How can I do anything but think about God? How can I do anything but sing out to Him? That's all. Yeah, I know what we believe. What you spend your money on. I'm going to tell you a quick thing. Paul and Silas, many stripes laid on them, many stripes. And they're in the prison house with their feet. Oh, man. Their feet tied to the stocks. And Silas says, Paul, not going to make it. We're not going to make it. Paul said, all right, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Silas said, what should we do? Paul said, let's pray, and then we'll sing a couple of hymns. I'm not sure I'd go along with it. I'd be whining and crying and screaming and telling how unfair everybody is to me, right? Well, they get singing because they believed. They believe in God. They sang for God. And you know what happened as a result? The prisoners heard them. No, they didn't sing for the prisoners. They sang to God. And as a byproduct, the prisoners heard them. And that's how I see myself. I walked into this church, a prisoner. And there were other prisoners that were prisoners singing to the Lord. And this prisoner heard them. And I wanted to know more about this God that they serve. Now, we don't sing for each other. Now, some people say, yeah, but people do get saved. Okay, maybe they do. Okay. In the Bible, I'm going to tell you, I challenge you right now. Is there any place in the Bible where God directs worship to lead other people to Christ as its main goal and purpose? No. Find it and send it to me. No. No. Worship is unto Him, unto Him, unto Him, over and over in the Bible. And if by chance a guy, a hippie comes in the church house and hears this music and it stirs his soul and he realizes, I am missing something in my life. Lord, what is it? Soften my heart for the word of God. Man, I got saved that day. I couldn't get enough of the music. I couldn't get enough of that singing. I couldn't wait until I got to church and sang these hymns, victory in Jesus. What is this? And you know what? We never take it for granted. You know what we believe in? Those guys on Sunday, they believe in their sports. We love the Mud Hens. We love the Buckeyes and the Cavaliers and the Reds and the Browns and the Bears and the Bengals and the Bills and the Broncos and the Colts. Love them. We love the Gators and the Longhorns, Spartans and the Cyclones, the Hurricanes and the Yellow Jackets, the Crimson Tide and the Wolfpack, and the Bulldogs. I know what you believe in. You know how I know that? Because you walk around with a Bulldog shirt on. Bulldog shirt. You walk around with your favorite football player on your shirt. Well, I know what you believe in. Now, in this world, we're so gullible. If a celebrity is touting some product, we believe it. Like, if we take this pill, we'll look like that girl. If we take this energy, muscle-building stuff, we'll look like that guy. Fantastic. And then in 1930, then again in 1970, the Hollywood diet, or what's called the grapefruit diet, came out. And it's claimed that the enzymes in the citrus help burn fat. And all you have to do is eat a slice of grapefruit with every meal. And the pounds will shut off. You don't have to exercise. Listen. A big smash hit, you know what I believe in? I believe in grapefruit. I used to believe in grapefruit. Used to have it every day, pink grapefruit every day. I don't anymore. I don't believe in it. Listen, that diet turned into the 10-day, 10-pound off diet. 10-pound, 10-day off. Who would want to lose? Everyone wants to lose 10 pounds in 10 days. Not even exercise. You have the Oprah diet, and the Scarsdale diet, and the Stillman diet, and the Pills diet, and how about the exercise equipment? Oh yeah, all kinds of exercise equipment. That really, what they are, it's overglorified coat hangers they turn into, clothes hangers. Hey, listen, in the 70s, a big deal was the belt shaker. You know what I'm saying? You put your leg in a belt, you put your big old thigh in a, you know what I'm saying? And you turn the button on and this belt goes, brrr, you shake your fat right off. That's true. Remember, anybody remember that or no? Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many of you have one of those? Don't tell me. Listen, my wife's like, she loves the Goodwill and vets and all that. Well, she brings home oftentimes exercise piece of exercise equipment. Mama, remember that rod you brought home? It's this long pole. And at the end of the pole, it had two weights. And all you had to do was stand there and shake it like, and the weights make your whole body shake. Linda Jean, did you ever use that? I haven't either. Still sits in the closet. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We like the paleo diet, the vegan diet, the low-carb diet, the ultra-low-fat diet, the Atkins diet, the HCG diet, the zone diet, the keto diet. We're big on it. You know how I know that? You spend your money on it. That's what you believe in. I believe it. I believe it. Well, now we have the 2020s. Better educated, more well-informed, intelligent America. And if you look it up, you can find caffeine-infused undergarments. Yeah, that promise to destroy fat cells. The only problem is, you go on Google today, try to buy it. Back-ordered. It's true, back-ordered. Check it out, caffeine-infused underwear. No kidding. Burn it right off you. And then there, and it's back-ordered. Okay. Lobster-inspired slimming cream. Dermadoctor, now they call him a Dermadoctor, claimed his shrinking beauty cream, which costs just $60 for five. You're better off just buying a lobster and rub it on your body than buy this cream. It's cheaper. It'd be cheaper. Improve the appearance of cellulite. I've never seen anything improve the appearance of cellulite, but smooth and tightened skin was clinically proven to produce measurements up to 1 inch in 2 weeks. 2020, almond beautiful shape cream. Promise to trim 1.3 inches from users' thighs. 4 weeks. And then you got, remember the fat grabber pills? They're out now. Fat grabber pills, you eat this, the pills, they call them fat grabbers. And you eat them, and then when you eat food, somehow like a little Pac-Man down there, they eat the fat. Yeah. Call them fat grabbers. No kidding. Look it up. Yeah. Well, it turned out not to be so great. Green coffee extract that can eliminate 10% of your body weight. Promoted by Oz and Oprah. That's it. I mean, if the Wizard of Oz and Oprah agree, you know it's got to be true. That's no kidding. Yeah. Yeah. How about the Get High School Skinny Health Trim Supplement? Anybody been to a high school lately? Yeah. And then you got the Ab Glider, 3 minutes a day, would lose 10 pounds in a week. I know what you believe. $4 billion a year spent on in-home exercise equipment. 82.1 million adults spend an estimated $28 billion on gym membership. I have a gym membership. Okay. I believe in it. And I go pretty much. Yeah. U.S. spends about $35 billion a year on diet products. About $100 per year per person. Now, let's check this out. You know, I like the facts and figures. Most of them are false, but the ones that are true have a Bible base somewhere in there. According to the study, American woman spends about $313 per month on her appearance. This adds up to $3,756 per year, or $225,360 over the course of a lifetime. To be honest with you, I don't see it. I'm just saying. Listen. If you Google, I know what you believe in. Yeah, what you spend your money on, your time on, what you talk about. If you Google diet, just the word diet, you get 927 million hits today. And if you Google the real God of our country, sports, just about 10 billion hits. Yeah. According to the money we spend and what we do, we should be the healthiest, the wealthiest, the happiest, the most in shape, contented people on the face of the earth. But the fact is, America is the most drugged country in the world. Anxiety drugs and stress drugs and all those things, we buy the most per capita. I'm going to give you a tip, a money-saving tip, and then we'll go on to some more scripture. Calories in, calories out. That's all. So if your body is good for 2,000 calories a day, and you eat 2,400 calories worth of food a day, well, you've got to do some 400 calories worth of exercise. And if you're into walking, it's about 100 calories per mile. So you got to walk roughly 4 miles. Now, if your body's good for 2,000 calories a day, and you only eat 1,900 calories a day, you're going to lose weight. Save yourself a fortune. And you know what? I'm not even going to charge you for it. Free. Okay. We live in a I'll believe it when I see it world. Don't we? I'll believe it when I see it. That's not God, although that's crept into the church house. I'll believe it when I see it. Look with me in Mark chapter 15, verse 32. Mark 15, 32. Mark 15. And 31, let's look at 31. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. This morning's message is about believing. It's about worship. Last night we talked about being here, and today, this morning, we're talking about believing. When you look at that hymn book and you read that doctrine, those wonderful words, it is well with my soul and that, some of the guys mentioned last night, and you believe that, then you can worship. If you don't believe it, I can't see you. That's why our worship is lacking. And that's why we need to get the drums and get the smoke and get the lights and work everybody up into a frenzy, because we just don't believe. Last night, we talked about being here, putting aside everything. This morning, believe. And tonight, we're just going to come and be glad. Just be glad. You know what? God wants us to be glad in our worship. Okay. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now that we may see and believe. Oh, I'll believe God when I see him come off the cross. I'll believe he's God if he heals my relative. Then I'll sing. Oh, I'll sing if he gets me a mate. I'll sing if he gets me a job. I have something to sing about. No, your circumstances have nothing to do with your singing. Your standing with God has everything to do with your singing. And that's what happened with Paul and Silas. Oh, I'll believe it. I'll believe it as long as things are going well in my life. I'll believe it if my wife makes it through her surgery. I'll believe it if the world becomes somehow a better place. It's not going to become a better place. I'll just tell you that right now. The man whose son was healed of an unclean spirit said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When you come to church on a Sunday morning or you want to worship, say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, Lord. The world says, you've got to... We're driving down our main city road, big car dealership. Said, you've got... That's really where this message was born. It said, you've got to see this to believe. These prices, you've got to see it to believe it. This can't be true until you see it. And that is one reason why people, they don't want to believe God. But we know God says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Unless I witness it, I won't believe it. Unless I see it happen, I won't believe it. It's too hard. You see, my friends, our senses want to be fed. The senses want to be fed because of flesh. So these eyeballs, they say, I can't believe this. I can't believe this refuge of my weary soul. I've got to see it to believe it. Well, no, as an unsaved man, just a heathen blasphemer, I would say, if God is real, then strike me with a lightning bolt. If God is real, let's start raining right now, mocking Christians. You believe that? Yeah. Makes me think of a story. I was on a Shalott Pier on Lake Ontario, late at night, midnight. Once of my friends, high, stoned out there, 21 years old, whatever. And these Christians came out at midnight, witnessing to us. And I said to this guy, I said, you know, you realize, if we wanted to, we could throw you right in the lake. And the guy said, only if God allowed it. That boy believed in something. I never forgot that. I didn't get saved a couple years later. But I'm thinking, that boy has some faith. He believes it. Now, it's a ridiculous question to even ask, but do you really believe everything you see? I don't think so. Matter of fact, in the next second that goes by, there'll be 40,000 search inquiries on Google. 40,000 people trying to find something true. And some people will believe whatever they read. Like if you eat a slice of grapefruit with every meal, you lose 10 pounds. No, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look in John chapter 30. Man hasn't changed. We're the same way as they were in the Bible. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think we're humans like we're humans. But no, they were humans. Same likes, same dislikes, exact same people as we are. Circumstances just change a little bit. John 6:30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou them that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? What he's saying here is, if I see some Google confirmation, I'll believe it. If I hear from the experts, Oz and Oprah, I'll believe it. If science agrees with it, I believe it. Listen, science is way, way behind the Bible. I'll tell you right now, for sure. Science is just catching up in some areas. What does the majority think? Let me say this. If the majority thinks one way, it's probably the wrong way. We want a sign. When Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Jesus said to the nobleman who healed the nobleman's son, Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Pharisees demanded a sign. The Pharisees came forth, began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply. Oh, the Lord sighed deeply. And said, why did this generation seek after a sign? Oh! That's what he's saying. Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Look with me in John 11:38. Go to John 11:38. Same people as we. John 11:38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, like, really? Again? Groaning within himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lieth upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Oh, what a statement. If you believe, thou shouldest see. Because in the Christian realm, in the spiritual realm, my friends, believing is seeing. In John chapter 12, Jesus is at Bethany, and they came to see him. And the Bible says this, they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus. I have got to see this man, Lazarus, before I can believe it. Look in John chapter 20, verse 24. John 20 and 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, very famous story, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see, because of him, seeing is believing. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. So let's change our music. Let's change our worship so that the lost world will believe. See, we can have fun. See, it's a great time being a Christian. See, you can enjoy in the flesh Christianity. 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Believing is surely a barometer of your faith. And Thomas answered and said unto him, Lord, my Lord and my God. Jesus saying to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Because you've seen me, you believe. How disappointing. It's kind of a tacit or an implied or inferred, a gentle reproof, I think, to Thomas. And I think the Lord would say the same to us today. It's our churches are a lot of our churches are dead. People aren't here, really. They're someplace. And they just don't believe. It's too much. It's too much to believe. Look in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 14. Very beautiful scripture. Acts 24, 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, watch, so worship I the God of my fathers, what? Believing. That's worship. You know what worship is? Believing. You can worship if you believe. And I know what you believe in. And worship is a measurement of this thing. So when the congregation is singing and you're off in something and looking around and you're not, I say to myself, how can you not sing? Well, I'm not here, and my belief is short. Look at, so worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope, verse 15, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. They believe in Christ. They believe in the gospel. They believe in the love of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God, the glory of God, the forgiveness of God, the hope of heaven. They believe it. He believed it. And so he could worship God. Now, really beautiful story. Exodus 4. If we can go to Old Testament, Exodus 4, 27. Really the proof of the matter. If we need more proof of the matter about believing, what God said in Psalm 27? I have fainted. What? Believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted. Unless I believed to see. Believed to see. That's what we can call this morning's message. Believe to see. I'd faint unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe it. I believe it. I told the men last night, people, they come to our church and our people, oh, listen. I know the story of the people in my church. I know their sadness. I know their sorrow. I know their hurts. But when they come into the house and they just sing out, the people around them don't know that. Don't know their problems like I know their problems. Don't know their sorrows and their sufferings like I know them, like God knows them. All they see is someone worshiping the Lord. It's a time of the week for them to get out of this world. I don't need more world. I need less world. They come into the house and be with a bunch of believers that are there, worshiping the Lord. All right, Exodus chapter 4, verse 27. And the Lord said unto Aaron, Moses is now returning from Egypt. I would call this the meat of the matter this morning. Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. The people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed. They believed, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Believing, bowing our hearts, bowing our souls, believing God and worship. That's where worship is born. It's born in believing. We would fill our church house up with lost souls. How can you worship the church full of lost people? Now, the people believe. They believe what God said is true. And they gratefully bowed their heads. They gratefully worshiped the Lord, putting all their things aside. Well, we've got enough to be thankful for just in our salvation that we can put it all aside this morning or whenever you meet to worship. I'll tell you this. When you're stressed out, when you're by yourself, young lady, young man, listen to me. When you're by yourself and you're stressed out, things aren't going your way. You might not feel like singing, but I say you break out into singing. You put on some Christian music and you sing and watch what it does for the soul. God, we're going to talk about it tonight. What does singing do for the soul? It makes you glad. Don't even doubt it. Psalm 78, verse 21. Can you look there? Psalm 78, 21. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth, so fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Why? Why was God wroth? Why was his anger up against Israel? Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. So we meet on Sunday morning. God has been so good to us. And I think it angers the Lord, disappoints the Lord, makes the Lord groan that we don't worship. Maybe it's because we don't believe. Look in verse 23. Though he commanded the clouds from above, opened the doors of heaven, had rained down man upon them to eat, and given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the foe. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them all as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about the habitation, so they did eat and were filled. Filled. Are we not just so filled? And yet, look, I am no one to say anything to anybody. I don't know you. And I'm just telling, I just want to bring you truth. God has blessed us throughout the week. Has he not blessed us throughout the week? And if you say no, all I'm saying is this morning when you got up, you had food, you turn the thing and you have water, all you want, clean water. It's not like that in every place in the world. And you got here, you drove here, you have clothing. God has filled us. Is he not worthy to direct our attention, to be here, and to worship him? Look with me in Psalm 106. 106, and we'll close up here. I'll hand it back over to Pastor John. You know what? Honestly, I can't bring my phone in the church house. Never. Because I'm like you. That bad boy's in my pocket. Now, a good Christian puts it on vibrate or buzz or something, but you, when that thing buzzes and you're right in the middle of this good old 18, you know, and that, oh no, someone wants to send me a picture of their dog or someone has a new recipe for pasta. I'm going to miss it. I know I'm going to miss it. You know, I think, and it's too revolutionary and people won't go for it. I mean, my own people won't go for it. I say, put the thing, leave it in your car. Leave the thing in your car. Is not God worthy? Yeah, but what if someone wants to show me a picture of Niagara Falls? Well, you just have to wait till after church and hope see it then. It's probably not going to change. We're selfie. Listen, we've gone mad with the phones. Huh? You live with the phone, you sleep with the phone, you eat with the phone. Change your whole family. Come to the table without your phone. Just a little side tip from Pastor Folk. Put the phone in the other room. This way you can talk to each other. What? Talk to? What? What are we going to talk about? Try it. Can you do it for 1 week? Put the phone away. Then you're at the table. Your wife's trying to tell you. Your kids are trying to tell you about school. And that thing's going to buzz you and beep you. Don't you even want to know how many hours you spend on that thing a day. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well. Psalm 106, 12. Then believe they his words. Oh, look. I love this verse, 12. They believed, they sang. That's all. That's all. But the problem came, verse 13. Oh, but they forgot. Forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them a request. He's not going to make you sing. What kind of worship is that? Sometimes I feel like a taskmaster trying to whip the people into worship. Aye. That's not good. I guess I'd rather have that than nothing, though. So we're mingled. Look at verse 35. We're mingled among the heathen. Whenever God talks about mingled in the Bible, it's not good ever. It's never good. Mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. When we come together, believing, we'll sing. We come together and really focus on being here. Like the brother said, I had to do the same this morning. I had 2 phone calls, big problems. My co-pastor rushed to the hospital this morning. Has to have his gallbladder out. My sister's found lying on the floor in the living room today. Got to go to the hospital. Wow. And the Lord, I'm feeling, sensing the Lord saying, really, Jay? You believe what you're telling these folks? I believe it. Last verse, Psalm 27:13. Almost the last verse, 27:13. I referred to it just a moment ago. Said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is always good no matter what. We know that. And the world will say, no, we must see it to believe it. And like most things, God is the opposite. He says, believing is seeing. I had fainted. Believing is seeing. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we know what it says in the book of Hebrews. Those folks didn't receive the promise. Yet they believed. They were kind of faithful. They did not receive the promise. They didn't see it. They believed it. You want to change your worship, really? Ask yourself, what am I singing? Do I believe this victory in Jesus? Do I believe the amazing grace? How sweet the sound. Oh, saved a wretch like me. Why don't we just sing one verse? Just sit here and sing it calmly to the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. You believe that? Saved a wretch. Man, that's awesome. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind. Now I see. I believe it. Yeah. You know, listen, how many times have you sung that hymn? A thousand times. Every time I sing it, I just think of the wonderful grace and mercy of Almighty God. Hebrews 11:6, Brother John, you can come. It says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible. You can't worship without it. Without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, here's a challenge for tonight. Come with your favorite hymn in your mind, and what we'll do, we'll talk about being glad and what science is finally learning about singing and what that does to the human frame and mind. But we'll sing some. Just like we just did. Your favorite hymn, we'll sing one verse of it without the music, without instruments. We'll just sing it ahead of time. Amen? Okay. Praise the Lord.